Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
No doubt about the drive, the energy, the attitude of these boys. They never give in. Last year we would have been 3, 4, 5 down. This is such a big stride forward for them.
You tell them, Ollie. You tell them. This is the Manchester United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. After United, we have got Norwich City and Sunderland. But I'm not going to lie, I'm seething. I'm absolutely seething. And I wanted Manchester United to win so much today. Just. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and that the 11 players on the pitch today could just stick it. Stick it to Twitter. Stick it to the fans. Stick it to the nonsense that you heard when United went 2-0 down. Yes, the first half was abject. It was abject. It was a poor performance. But United battled back. And like he said, they came back and it showed something today. It showed something from United. It showed resilience. It showed character. And yes, it was abject. And people go, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. United are rubbish. If you're expecting that to be a performance from a team that want to get into the Champions League, I don't care about the Champions League. I don't care about the top four at the moment. I really don't. I'm not a fan of a club who wants to aspire finishing in fourth place every season. It's not what I expect from my football club. I want to see a bit of direction. Yes, in the first half, we didn't see that. But quite clearly, there is a project at Manchester United at the moment. And if you don't like it, tough. Tough luck. Manchester United had an incredible spell of success under Sir Alex Ferguson. When Sir Alex Ferguson left, yes, there has been a period of decline. But don't forget, trophies were still won. There was an FA Cup won under Louis van Gaal. There was a Carabao Cup, a Europa League won under Jose Mourinho. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer hasn't won anything yet. I know that. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is managing Manchester United in a period where it is very difficult and it is a team in transition. But let's look at the three goals scored today by Brandon Williams, Mason Greenwood and Marcus Rashford. Three players to come through Manchester United's academy. And when you speak to a lot of fans, sometimes that will just suffice. And hey, Sheffield United, a sixth in the Premier League, they're not doing too bad this season. Only Liverpool managed to scrape a victory there because of an error, you'd have to say, from Dean Henderson. Without that, they might have got a draw. Then what would have everybody said? Manchester United got a draw at Sheffield United. And yes, in the grand scheme of things, that's not good enough for a club of the stature of Manchester United. I 100% agree with you. However, let's try and look at the positives. I know it's difficult. On the line now, we've got Ben Senior. Ben, are you going to give me a ray of light, or are you going to go into the stream of negativity that I've been hearing and reading from United fans since they went 2-0 down today?
Matt, you know me. I will try my best to get any positive out of the game I can. And today just had it all, didn't it, really? I mean, for three quarters of the game, we were woeful. We were. And you couldn't find any positives in it. And then you come back, it's 3-2, and we think we've got a great comeback like we used to see in the great United teams of the past. And then just at the death, we've lost it again. And I think it just sums us where we're up right now as a club, as a team, as the players we've got. For every strength we've got a weakness as well. And I think it's just finding that balance at the minute. I think there were some very poor performances today, especially at the back from the likes of Phil Jones. I thought Pereira was very weak. But then the likes of Brandon Williams and Mason Greenwood, that we've been shouting for weeks to get that starting berth and actually get a place in the team. I know Greenwood came in from the bench, but it is good to see them young players coming through, and you do see glimpses of hope in there.
You do, and I've not read anything really positive in the media from what I've trawled through at the moment. And I'm not saying there should be. Look, I'm not saying that that is a divine right, that there has to be good things said about Manchester United. We only tend to hear bad things said about the club, certainly at the moment anyway. And yes, we have to look at the statistics. That's just one away win in the past 11 for United in the Premier League. They failed to keep a clean sheet in the past 12 away from home. That is the worst run since the 85-86 season. That's fine. I get all of that. However, all you tend to hear is the negative side of Manchester United. I know it's an easy case to tackle, but they've come back today, scored 3 goals in 7 minutes with 3 goals from academy products. Surely we can perhaps look at that and go, do you know what? It's not all bad.
Well, you've got to say that, haven't you? And say the academy looks like... I saw a lot of people saying when we were calling for it and calling for the young players to be introduced that we don't know how good United youngsters are. But I think you've got to believe in them when they're showing that. And even the strike from Brandon Williams today, that... Tell you what, that could have been an experienced winger for scored 20, 30 goals a season the way he took that. So the players are there that are coming through. It just, something's not quite right at the minute. But look, we need to not get hung up on, every game we can't be saying whether Ollie's going to be sacked or not. I saw people at half time saying, oh, he's getting sacked tomorrow, Pochettino's coming in and all this. And they're thinking, come on now. Like, you're not telling me that if we change the manager tomorrow, this team won't change. It's a project. We've got to believe in it. Even though at times we won't believe in higher up in the club, in how it's been funded, in how we're actually investing. But we've got to try and put some faith that there is a plan here. And it is going to take years and not just turn overnight. Because let's be honest, like today was a reflection of where we are as a team and as a club this season. We're ninth. We're nine points off top four, and we showed very good glimpses, but also we were very, very poor in part. So I think it just sums us up completely where we are right now.
Yeah, it does. It does. It absolutely sums it up. But that's not... It's not a bad thing. And you mentioned players there. Yes, Pereira, not very good today. Fred, you know, we spoke about him at length last week. We spoke to Andrew Flint from Football Grad, who said that he's hoping Fred might start to become the player they thought he could be when he was at Shakhtar. He didn't show much today, in my opinion, where he was in a midfield that was severely depleted without Scott McTominay. And by the way, if we're going to focus on the midfield, does that show today that Scott McTominay has suddenly become a hugely important figure for United?
Yeah, I think you notice with good players and important players, the times you notice them most is when they're not there in the team. And I think there was a big hole in that midfield today. And that just shows you it's Scott McTominay last season was in and out of the team. He's come, another player that's come through the academy and knows what it's like to play for United. I know myself that over the past few seasons when we've chopped and changed managers or with Mourinho, I've always said that some of the players, you question their attitude, you question whether they know what it means to play for United. And I've always said this season, look, if we don't get top four, fine, but if we finish the season with a team that the fans can be proud of and that reflects the fans on that pitch, then I'm happy. I'd love United. I'd love us to get back to top four and get back to winning cups. And we need to start from the start. We can't jump in and go, oh, we need to be here, we need to be there, because it's just unrealistic. I think to see players that reflect the fans on the pitch is the most important thing. But yeah, I think it really highlighted it today how weak our squad is in terms of we get a key injury to the likes of a Scott McTominay or a key player and suddenly we can't find that replacement.
That's 10 goals as well for Marcus Rashford now. So that's another positive that we can look at. I feel slightly deflated. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm trying to get myself up for this show today. But everything that I've seen in terms of the reaction from that, and everybody trying to get a rise out of you as well, everybody coming up to me. We had Dave Seager was here today and he said, oh, I tell you what, I feel bad being an Arsenal fan, but every time I watch United, it makes me feel better. I'm like, okay, cheers, Dave. And, you know, I will tell that to him to his face as well. But it's difficult because all you get is stick. And it's driving me mad because it starts to be enforced online. And you shouldn't judge everything that you read on Twitter. And we keep having this debate. No, you shouldn't. But like you said, the images of Pochettino standing outside Old Trafford that are superimposed on someone's head, that shouldn't be allowed, by the way. That should be illegal, because Tottenham fans are probably seething as well because they're doing the same thing with his image outside of the Emirates. It shouldn't be allowed that you could do this. It's ridiculous because you're putting his face on a body that he shouldn't be allowed to be on. Mauricio Pochettino, like you said, is not going to change Manchester United at this moment in time. Let's not forget that alongside Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you've got Mickey Feeling, you've got Michael Carrick, you've got you've got people who know the club, who love the club. There is a project at the moment. But great to see Marcus Rashford back on the score sheet again. Anthony Martial not getting on the score sheet. And I want to touch on his departure, because a lot has been talked about this with regards to whether it was the right decision to take him off. Personally, I actually don't think it was. And we're going to speak to Serge Adam, the founder of Stretti News, later on the show. And he was saying that he thinks that probably it was the right move from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to take him off. I'm not sure that it was, because United were in the ascendancy, actually going for a fourth goal at the time. Martial came on 85 minutes. Of course, Sheffield United scored 5 minutes later. I know it's great to see Axel Tuanzebe all the time. However, I just feel at this particular moment, United had an opportunity to really kill the game off and probably should have done when they had that great counter-attack, and it was just a little bit of craft in the final third. But A, Ben, do you think he should have been taken off? And B, what did you make of his departure and his demeanour as he trudged off the pitch?
Yeah, I think it's one that Ollie got wrong. You look at the game and the two players he brought on earlier on with Lingard and Greenwood coming on, I think changed the game for the better. And obviously Greenwood actually got on the score sheet and got his goal and took it very well. And they changed the game, and you've got to give Ollie credit for that. But as you give him credit, you've got to say on the other hand and criticise him and say that I don't think he should have taken Martial off. Like you said, we were in the ascendancy. We're going for another goal, and you've got to read the game a bit. You take Martial off, and obviously he's not happy with it. He doesn't really hide his emotions when it comes to stuff like that, and you could see he wasn't happy about it himself. But I think it then gives Sheffield United a boost. If you see United striker, our striker going off the pitch, not happy with the decision, if you see a defender coming on and thinking we're trying to hold out, then suddenly they're back up for the game. And you watch football games, it's all about momentum. And I think by taking him off there, you just gave a hell of a lot of momentum back to Sheffield United. And you just give it them and said, look, like, go on then, attack us and try and hold out. And our defence isn't good enough to just throw in and say, come on then, come at us. Because we just couldn't hold him off at the end. And yeah, it's one that Ollie definitely got wrong.
A real touch of naivety, I think, that Ollie fell for there, in the sense that, oh, it's the last 5 minutes of the game, let's try and run the clock down and take a striker off and defend this one goal lead. And that's the other side of it, is that we want to believe in this project, but when you're trying to defend a one goal lead, that shouldn't be the project. That should be, right, let's go and kill this off. I hate to say it, but it was a classic Mourinho move. It's exactly the type of thing that Jose Mourinho would do to kill a game off. And the reason Martial, I think, was annoyed wasn't just that he was being subbed because he wanted to complete the 90, but he probably thought, I can nick a goal here. I reckon I can exploit this back line. And like you said, it handed Sheffield United a bit of momentum when United could have killed the game off. And I guess the United of old, without wishing to harp on about the United of old when Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge, maybe might not have done that.
Yeah, I think naivety is the perfect word to use. And that's where Ollie, at times this season, sometimes you're with him and sometimes you're like, he's got to do better. I think in his press conference after the game, he's coming out and saying that, praising the players. And I know if we did well to get back in the game, but I think we've got to be winning them games. If Sheffield United away, would have won it. We missed the trick today. If we won it, we could have gone above them. And it's making ground on that top four. And we've got some tough fixtures on the way after the Europa League game next week. And I think it is just a bit of naivety from him. He just needed to go with it today and properly. We didn't start the game well at all, did we? Like, I think that shows naivety in itself. The way we set up, the way we actually approached the game. And look, Sheffield United are in good form, and pay them respect for that and what they've done this season. But I think it was naivety all around from Solskjaer. He made up for it a little bit with the subs earlier on. But I think today, you've got to say the manager is a big part to play in it.
Yeah, and you're right about that first half as well, just the one shot on target. And that's another thing, you know, Simon Moore was in for Dean Henderson today. Of course, Dean Henderson on loan from United and therefore couldn't play for Sheffield United today. Simon Moore coming in had never made a Premier League appearance. You could tell maybe before the start of the game, he looked slightly edgy. Maybe I'm just reading too much into that, perhaps because he had a camera shoved right in front of his nose literally seconds before kickoff, as Sky Sports love to do and seem to get away with. I don't know how they managed to get away with that, but you would have thought test this lad. Even if it's just lumping a couple of balls into the box, just test him. He's probably got a few jitters, and United didn't really do that.
Yeah, you've got to say, look, it's Sheffield United. They're going to be, it's their cup final today. They're facing Man United. They're doing well in the Premier League, but this is their cup final this season. So I think, you know, they're going to be up for it. You know their crowd's going to be up for it. And as United, we've got to be going there, and we've got to be putting a mark down and saying, look, we are serious about trying to get back into the top four. We're serious about this season, and we're not going to come out and not really have much of a game plan for the three quarters of the game. I just couldn't believe the fact that, okay, have we gone with the back three because of injuries, or whether what formation we're playing. We seem to be chopping and changing between these two formations, and I just feel we seemed a bit disconnected for three quarters of the game, which you've got to say is poor from the managers to send them out like that. I know the players aren't without responsibility, but I think you look at the opposition manager and Chris Wilder and the job he's done this season with that Sheffield United team and how he's got them playing and how they're just so like clear of all ideas, and you know how they're going to start. And I think we just were really naive today in the way we set up, the way we started the game, and then even right at the death as well.
Yeah, Ben, it's been great having you on as always. No doubt we'll speak again next week when perhaps we'll be talking about a victory over Aston Villa. That was Ben Senior. This is the Manchester United Fan Show. Next up, we've got North West correspondent Mark Flanagan on the line.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
The Manchester United Fan Show here on Love Sport United, getting a draw at Bramall Lane today when it looked like they were almost certainly going to suffer defeat at the hands of Sheffield United. Sheffield United going 2-0 up with goals from John Fleck and Lys Mousset, but United bagging three in the space of 7 minutes to very nearly get the victory, but an injury time equaliser for Ollie McBurnie, which went to VAR, and some say it shouldn't have been given, some say it should have been given. Regardless, it was, so it was 3-3 at Bramall Lane. Sheffield United moving up to sixth in the Premier League. United missing an opportunity to just put a little bit of pressure on that top five, I'm going to say, with Wolves in 19 points. And United now in ninth on 17, just 1 point behind Arsenal. On the line now, we have our Northwest correspondent, Mark Flanagan. Mark, you may have heard I had a bit of a rant at the beginning of this show. I'm a little bit annoyed about the way things are going at the moment. Not for Manchester United, not for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but the reaction towards the club. What are your thoughts?
Well, you might get a bit annoyed at me, Matt.
I thought as much.
You did a great job of pressing the positive. Obviously we'll go on to discuss things in detail, but sort of the headline things for me were how he set the team up. First and foremost, he talked actually afterwards about he considered playing Phil Jones in midfield in the same formation that they did against Liverpool, which obviously worked so well with James and Rashford as the front two, but obviously, this was different. He had a 3-4-3 with obviously the big three up front, and then Pereira and Fred in midfield. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, this could be really tough. I think Pereira again just proved, unfortunately, he's technically pretty good. He's good with a dead ball, but he just hasn't got it. He makes too many bad decisions. I just think he is so out of his depth. And when the going gets tough, it really does. He just seems to sort of fall apart, and that was really evident in the first half. I thought, as first halves go, I'm struggling to recall a worse 45 minutes for Manchester United, and I've been watching them for a very long time. They were absolutely awful, and the thing about the substitution of Greenwood, which came just after United got a goal back, great strike from Brandon Williams, who obviously that kid's got plenty about him. United were fantastic. They absolutely tore Sheffield United apart. They were brilliant. They were and looked like they could score with every attack. And that only really came about through desperation. There's no way that Solskjaer would put a team out like that with such an attacking formation, but it worked. And they got to 3-2, and he brought Tuan Zebi on for Martial and handed the initiative over. And I just thought that, you know, James and Lingard had a chance both had a chance after Rashford gave United the lead. And then Sheffield United came back into it. And I understand what you're saying about Mourinho, that how Mourinho used to shut games down in his heyday with Chelsea. But he used to have the players that could do it. United don't. And he just needed to ride that wave. And unfortunately, I think is the sort of negative mindset that's there, and he's worried about giving away a goal. The best chance that they had was changing it. You know, that team were flying, and he stopped them in their tracks. And unfortunately, we saw what happened with McBurnie in the last minute of normal time.
I completely agree. I completely agree with you, Mark. I know that I was playing the positive card, but when you talk about the substitution, I agree. The initiative was handed back to Sheffield United. The game was there for the taking. Sheffield United were almost down and out. You know, like you said, United had those chances. There was a real opportunity where there was a beautifully intricate passing play. Not too dissimilar, I might add, to the goal that's been going around this week that Mark Hughes scored against Sheffield United in the FA Cup in 93-94. It was a bit similar like that. But on this occasion, we didn't have the lovely Paul Ince flick and the Mark Hughes finish. We had a slightly overhit pass from Jesse Lingard, I think, to either Daniel James or one of the others on the wing. And it didn't quite work out. But United were in the ascendancy, and I think by keeping Anthony Martial on, they probably would have either held out or gone on to win 4-2. And besides, you know, I do have a defence for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yes, I do. But I think that he almost negated the philosophy and the process that he's trying to introduce at United by making that substitution.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with everything you said. They just clicked, and for 10 glorious minutes, Lingard just seemed to be running the show, didn't he? He just was picking up all the loose balls. Sheffield United were rattled. Bearing in mind, you're talking about a team who, before that game today, had the best defensive record in the Premier League. And United were absolutely thrilling. It was like watching them in the old days. And I just wonder, you know, those little fine margins. I mean, obviously, if United had held out, if McBurnie gets done for on the VAR, which was a 50-50, and United win 3-2, and Ollie's a hero, isn't he? You know, regardless of the fact that Sheffield United came back into the game on such fine margins, do things turn? So, yeah, it was so unfortunate after they just played with such freedom and excellence and great for Greenwood to score that goal, a real poacher, kind of just knowing when to go, just stealing half a yard, which is all you need at this level. Great cross from Rashford. And Dan James, again, he just came alive for 5 minutes, and when he's in that form, he's virtually unplayable. So, you know, playing the positive card, so many good young players. And there is obviously a bright future, but you know, you just have to wonder how quickly these guys can assert themselves and become a team that wins regularly in the Premier League. Because unfortunately, you know, promise is one thing, but United need a run of good results. And obviously, with the Pochettino situation, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, I think the United board have got a decision to make, because if they want Pochettino and they missed out on him when they appointed Mourinho, they're going to have to act fast, I think.
Well, they are, and I get what you're saying there. You know, it depends how quickly this team are going to click and begin to get regular results, positive results in the Premier League. But that's kind of what it is at the moment. And I think the sooner that a lot of United fans accept that is the case, that, you know what, it is going to take a bit of time. And if it doesn't work out, listen, I'll be the first to hold my hand up and say, crikey, we should have changed things. But I don't want United to be one of those clubs who do chop and change their managers all the time. Yes, it hasn't worked out with Moyes. It hasn't worked out with Louis van Gaal or Jose Mourinho. You just want Ole just to be given a bit of time. Give him a couple more windows to get the personnel in that might then benefit these lads. Because like you say, they were unplayable for a period in the second half. And all it took was that goal from Brandon Williams. Yes, a bit of fortune with that. But as soon as that goal went in, you suddenly saw, you know, a real spring in their step. Daniel James was getting the extra yard on a man. Mason Greenwood was playing on that last man. Marcus Rashford suddenly came to life. And if we were vying with Liverpool at the top of the Premier League, you'd look at today's result and go, oh, do you know what? That's a hard one to take, because it's really ruined our title chances. At the moment, it's just given another indication, I think, of where Manchester United are right now. And that is, on one hand, not great, a work in progress, but on the other, quite exciting and with bags of potential.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just think as someone who's been watching football for, you know, best part of 30-odd years, they just play it. They are just playing like a team who are capable of more. And that's often happens when they don't quite have confidence in the manager. He said afterwards, he said, today wasn't about tactics. This is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said this. Today wasn't about tactics. It was about desire. We lacked that in the first half. How can a top-level Premier League team not go out onto a pitch and have desire? Surely that's the basic thing. We can all have desire in things that we do, whether it's us two talking about this or at work or doing the best for your family or whatever it is. You should have a Premier League footballer should have desire as a basic minimum. And for him to kind of make that admission that Sheffield United's players had more desire is quite frankly... really unsettling, and I don't really know what to say. Really, it shouldn't be like that. And he's, you know, you've got to applaud Solskjaer's honesty. He also talked about the Everton game last year when they lost 4-0, and he thought, this could be another Everton. But he said this group of players have got more heart than that team who played against Everton. And I just looked at that team who played Everton. There were six players who played in both games: Jones, De Gea, Fred, Martial, Rashford and Lindelof. And the five players who aren't here for different reasons: Lukaku sold, Matic injured, Pogba injured, Dalot injured, Smalling sold. Is he really saying that people like Matic and Pogba and Smalling, who've won everything, well, you know, won Premier Leagues and World Cups, basically haven't got the heart and haven't got the bottle? It just seemed like a bit of an odd thing to say. And unfortunately for Ollie, he just keeps saying these slightly odd things that may think, has he really got the kind of, the gumption and the nounce and the authority in him to lead a club as big as Manchester United? Because those two examples that I've just given you, there's quite a long list of those if you go back throughout his whole tenure.
Yeah, I have to say it was a slightly odd one, and I do agree. I think him saying that it was a lack of desire was a real response to him being questioned about his tactics. So I don't know whether that was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I heard as well that he said, at half-time, he said, I was angry, I was disappointed. I don't know what kind of emotions you want to say, but you had to wake them up. And that's what everybody's clinging on to, the fact that he had to wake them up. Mark, we'll keep you on the line. We've also got David in Glasgow on the line as well. David, you want to talk about substitutions and the state of United's midfield?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for having me on. A couple of comments, obviously the after-match comments from Ollie there. And yeah, they do seem a bit bizarre when you just take them in isolation, but I think he's defending his players. The two most important positions on a football pitch are central midfield. It always has been, as far as I'm concerned. United went out there today, never mind to talk about the tactics and the formation and whatever, but we went out there today with Fred and Andreas Pereira in the central midfield. Now, I've watched the two of them play lots of games this season, last season, and honestly, they're not Premier League standard. Fred, he had a good game last week against Brighton, well, decent game, but every single time he either loses the ball, he can't seem to pass it, he doesn't seem to be able to tackle. Pereira's a wee bit more technical, and he, as Mark said, he's a good dead ball player, occasionally can come up with a good pass, but he went missing today big time. When you haven't got anything in the heart of the midfield, doesn't really matter what else you've got. Doesn't really matter if you've got, Gary Neville today on Sky was criticising the movement after the three forwards, obviously Martial, James and Rashford. Which I did get, but there was nothing for them to move for. The two central midfielders were not providing anything. Obviously, we're missing Scott McTominay today, Pogba's still there, and I do believe if those two players had been playing today, it could have been a slightly different... Well, I think it would have been a different outcome, but that is the area where we really need to work on. Regarding Martial's substitution... you could tell he was miffed, but Anthony Martial is miffed about the slightest thing. his attitude isn't always great. He can be a very dangerous player for us. At that particular moment, we were 3-2 up, and I do agree we had that momentum, and perhaps it was a mistake from Ollie. But at the same time, at that precise second, we were playing 4-2-4, with the two in the middle being Lingard and Fred. Now, I can understand Ollie's reticence that a central midfield of Lingard and Fred is not going to see this game out. He made the substitution, didn't work, but I wouldn't, you know, it's a learning curve. It's still a learning curve. Personally, as a United fan, I'd like to see him given to the end of the season at least. I don't know what's going to be around in the January transfer window. Perhaps not much. Pochettino, I think you made the point at the beginning of the show. Would he really be able to turn anything around? I'm not sure. I don't know if this is the time to go Europa League or bust, because 9 points behind top four, don't see us getting it. Pogba could be coming back, but what kind of Paul Pogba are we going to see? Are we going to see the Paul Pogba that was there when Ollie first took over, when he almost single-handedly dragged us back into the top four race? Or are we going to see a sulky Paul Pogba who is looking for a move elsewhere? So central midfield, to me, is the real key area. We don't have it. I mean, whether that's Ollie's fault, you know, Fellaini, Herrera went, no replacements made. I'm not sure how much Ollie had to do with that. Obviously, if we look at the idea of putting Phil Jones, I know it maybe worked in that Liverpool game, but I mean, Phil Jones has been a busted flush for many years now. Just like to ask you one little point here.
I tell you what, just very, very quickly, what we'll have to do, David, is go to pay the bills. If you want to stay on the line, we'll catch up with you in a couple of minutes. Is that cool?
Yeah, no problem. I'll stay on.
Lovely. Manchester United fan show here on Love Sport.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
The Manchester United fan show here on Love Sport. Before the ads, we had David from Glasgow giving his opinion on today's game, and a very good one it was too, David. I just want to very quickly pick up on something you said before you put the question to us, and that was on Fred. And he was a topic of conversation last week. We spoke to Andrew Flint from Football Grad, who'd seen him at Shakhtar Donetsk, and it had quite quite high praise, I suppose you could say, for Fred. But there was a moment today that was reminiscent of a moment we saw earlier on in the season, when I think he failed to control a pass from Pereira, or he misplaced a pass from Pereira. Today we saw it where he dropped his shoulder and just pinged an aimless ball into the box, and Harry Maguire's reaction to it was quite telling.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, picked up the ball. You could tell, I can't repeat what he said, quite clearly you could lip read what he was saying, that Fred should, you know, do his best to get it into the box without missing a few words there. But yeah, I think it's quite telling from the other players. When you see that reaction on the pitch from some players, you think, oh crikey, perhaps they don't believe in his ability.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Fred is the king of the aimless ball, and also he's not providing goals. I'm not really sure what he provides. I mean, he occasionally can cover the defensive line, and he can play that defensive midfielder role, you know. But if that's all he can do, and also with respect, you know, Shakhtar Donetsk, it's not coming. One of the things when Jose signed him was, you know, that Pep was interested in him. And, you know, a lot of United fans sometimes think that we signed Fred just to stop Pep from signing him. How much Pep was really interested in him, I'm not sure. A quick VAR thing. I've got no problem with the Ollie McBurnie goal at all. As far as I'm concerned, he tried. It might have slightly brushed his arm. However, it was obvious he was doing absolutely everything to get his arm out of the way. So, you know, I've no problem with that being given a goal. I don't know now. Sheffield United's first goal.
Lise Moussey on Phil Jones?
Yeah, on Phil Jones. I mean, there was obviously Phil Jones was, you know, he was made to look a little bit silly. However, he was kind of bundled over. You know, if you watch that again, I've watched it 3 or 4 times now. And what's the guy, the Sheffield United's forwards who came off in the second half, you know, basically as soon as he came off, we started coming back into it. I've forgotten his name.
Lise Moussey. The Sheffield United striker, Lise Moussey, who scored the second goal.
Hello?
Yep. Have you got me, David?
Hello?
Oh, I think we've lost David in Glasgow. What a shame. Mark, I'll come to you on that one. I'm not entirely sure that it was a foul, really, on Phil Jones. I think that it was quite a calculated piece of skill from Moussey, really, just out-muscled him.
Yeah, it's in this era of VAR. I did look at that and like David, I actually thought, because Moussaï does, was it charge him? I mean, you know, there's the old-fashioned shoulder to shoulder, but there was more of it from Moussaï, was Jones was trying to obviously shepherd it out. So I can definitely see what you're saying. But on what David was saying about the midfield, I just wondered, I'd love to ask the Manchester United coaching staff when they picked the formation and the team, and they thought we're relying on Pereira and Fred to do a big job in midfield. Did they see these players every day and they've seen them in lots of football matches, and they must have thought we could get overrun here. These guys could really, really struggle against a team as organised as Sheffield United. And against Liverpool, when they played the three at the back, they had McTominay, Pereira and Fred. I think it was they had three in midfield. Why didn't they play three in midfield? I mean, I think it was obviously, you know, you wanted to keep the three up front, which I can understand, but why not just play a 4-3-3? You know, they've been doing quite well playing 4-3-3, and just bring Jimmy Garner in. I'm sure he would have been a better, you know, Jones had an awful time. I mean, actually, Ollie said he considered playing Jones in midfield, which he, I can't remember the last time that's happened. And when you hear things like that, you do wonder, and if we're talking about it and wondering and trying to work out a positive reason why you would set up like that, I'd be fascinated to know his explanation about what were all the positive reasons for doing that. I'm a bit of a loss, really.
Yeah, I think a lot of United fans are at a loss on that one. And the Phil Jones debate rumbles on. I am one of those fans that desperately wants him to do well. And I think I mentioned it many times. I always dreamed that United would have that Smalling-Jones partnership. Chris Smalling, by the way, 2 assists and a goal for Roma today against Brescia.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah, people are wheeling those stats
out. He's going really well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing very well. Doing very well for Roma at the moment. Seems to be very happy playing in Italy. But Phil Jones, listen, he's made one domestic appearance this season. We've seen him in the Europa League, but one domestic appearance. His first start in the Premier League since the back end of last season. That other domestic appearance this season was against Rochdale in the EFL Cup. He was dragged at half-time on that occasion, dragged again at half-time on this occasion. You've got to be wondering where his confidence is at now, because surely it is at an all-time low.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't it interesting? He was described as the new Duncan Edwards.
Yeah, he was.
And when he was signed.
Didn't Sir Alex say, I think, after the, was it the Madrid game or one of the games, didn't he, where
yeah,
he said,
so,
you know, he's going to be a United great of the future. And I genuinely thought, I read into that, because when he came from Blackburn, what we saw at Blackburn was this marauding right-back, centre-back who was causing teams all kinds of problems, didn't let much get past him. And in that first season, at the start of that first season, he was deployed at right-back to begin with. I remember the game against Bolton. I think it was the second game of the season when United won 5-0. May have even been the first game of the season. And he was absolutely brilliant. And you thought, OK, here we go. You know, he signed Phil Jones, he signed Ashley Young that summer as well. Tom Cleverley was coming good. And you thought, we've got a decent defender for the future here. And then, I think I've mentioned it on the show before, that he then started playing in that central midfield role, that defensive midfield role, and it almost felt like it was a bit too much for him. He got a bit muddled. He scored a goal away at Aston Villa, I think. And you thought, OK, maybe he's got it in his locker. Then he almost played that position for England as well. But ever since then, it's just been a gradual decline for him.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the really, really good coaches and the great coaches like Guardiola and Klopp and ones who've gone before them, you just wonder if someone like Phil Jones, if he'd have played under Pep for the whole of his career, I'm sure a lot of players would love to have played under Pep. But do you know what I mean? Some players, I think, somehow just lose the way, and they've had, Man United have had different managers. And obviously that's one of the big problems with when you have a lot of managers in a short space of time with different philosophies, completely different philosophies in many respects. When you look at Manchester United's recent managers, and Jones is very much, for me, someone who has got the raw, who had the tools, who had the physicality and the pace and everything else, and just has just lost his way. And like you say, confidence has completely gone. And I'm sure that he gets a lot of stick on social media. He's become a figure of fun, which is a really sad thing. And I'm sure that's affected him as well.
Without a doubt. And as soon as you saw him go down, I think, for an early challenge, you just thought those memes are going to be all over social media. And listen, at first, people can laugh about it, but I don't particularly find it that funny anymore. I think it's maybe gone a bit too far. And like you said, that isn't going to be helping his cause one bit whatsoever. Mark, it's been great having you on. We've got Aston Villa next, of course, Astana in the Europa League before then. No doubt we'll be speaking next Sunday about positives, negatives, Fred and Pereira.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, Mark. That was Mark Flanagan, our Northwest correspondent. And this is the Manchester United Fan Show. Next up, we are looking ahead to that game against Aston Villa next week.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
It's the Manchester United Fan Show here on Love Sport. I'm exhausted. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been quite the show this evening with all that reaction to the 3-3 draw at Sheffield United today. Some good, some bad, some in between. Right now, we're looking ahead to the game against Aston Villa next Sunday. United back at Old Trafford after a Thursday night trip to Astana, of course, in the Europa League. Aston Villa not playing until tomorrow against Newcastle. So, of course, the tide may turn for them. Of course, they are down in 17th at the moment, just 4 points adrift of Newcastle in the Premier League, but just 1 point ahead of Norwich in those relegation spots. We've got Dom Phillips from the Heart of the Hole online. Now, Dom, great to have you on, mate. I'm going to start with a bit of trivia because we love a bit of trivia here on the Manchester United Fan Show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you probably know what's coming, mate. One win in 26 years for Aston Villa at Old Trafford. Just one win coming in the Premier League. Can you tell me when that was?
Oh, God. I feel like a right plastic. I'm going to say late 90s. Got to be.
Unfortunately not, mate. You need to fast forward 10 years. It was the late noughties. It was in the 09-10 season under Martin O'Neill. Yes. Gabby Ogbonlahor tapping in and Ashley Youngcross.
Oh, Miss Gabby.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Gabby.
Ashley Young's not... I've seen better days, Ashley Young, hasn't he? As I'm sure many Manchester United fans listening would agree with me saying.
But very good then at the time. That was Ashley Young as he was sort of approaching his pomp. Just a quick drop of the shoulder, a cut in with his right foot and a great ball in.
He's unbelievable player.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Great in that first season for United. Just had that ability. It's like he'd practiced it for years, that he would cut in on his right and ding one in top bins. He scored two for United against Arsenal, which were pretty much carbon copies.
Yeah. He's like a forerunner of the game in that sense for me, because now you see so many inside forwards coming into the game. He was one of the first inside forwards in the Premier League, really, for me, that just really set the game alight like that. He's really unique, and he's a right trendsetter, I think, Ashley Young.
I actually, do you know what, I think it's the first time Ashley Young's ever been referred to as a trendsetter, Dom. I like that. You've coined something new there for Ashley Young. He'll be buzzing off of that. But he surprised me, actually. He eclipsed expectation for me, because saw him come through at Watford, this very sort of skinny, spindly winger. And of course, I know these guys grow into themselves. But I thought when Aston Villa spent, it was upwards of 10 million for him, I thought, oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think that's a bit too much.
10 million, 8 million, something like that.
Yeah, I thought that's a bit too much. But then he obviously went on at Villa. Then when United signed him, I thought, is he a Man United player? But again, went from strength to strength, really, at United. I know he divides opinion now, Ashley Young, but a prominent squad member for United. But we'll move on from that because, of course, you guys have Newcastle tomorrow, but then United next weekend. After watching today's game, I'm presuming you watched the 3-3 draw today. What are your thoughts ahead of that trip to Old Trafford?
Well, I've had this feeling before today, actually, that we are primed for an upset against the top team. We've come close against Spurs. We've come close against Arsenal. And I think United could well be the day that we do it, because I've never been convinced by Ole, and I've never really been convinced by United's squad. I think it lacks a lot of quality. And I think that we're in good position for an upset. We've had the international break to reset after a tough period. If we beat Newcastle on Monday, then I think we're definitely fair game to go to Old Trafford and get 3 points, to be honest. Pull something like Crystal Palace did.
Oh, that is bold, Dom. You're putting it right out there. I like it, mate. I like it. I like the boldness.
The thing is, amongst Villa fans, I'm not exactly meant to be the most positive. I'm sometimes seen as pessimistic. But no, I really think we could go out and get a win at Old Trafford. Even though as you say, one win in however many years, we're not very lucky at Old Trafford. But, you know, those curses have got to be broken at the end of the day.
Yeah, records are certainly there to be broken. I would imagine they will all be wheeled out before the game. I'll take credit for them because I've just said them all now.
Exactly. Doing your research, mate.
Jack Grealish set to return, of course. He's missed the last two league games. So that's huge, isn't it? Tom Heaton, I think, is even bigger. He'll be back. Bjorn Engels might be back. Matt Target as well, expected to be fit.
Yeah, I think they're all expected to be fit, but we're not 100% sure on Heaton. He's been a bit quiet about Heaton, so I'm not sure. If we do have Nyland in goal, then just know that he wasn't good enough for the Championship. So I'm a bit worried if we have to go with Ollie and Nyland. But in fact, to be fair to him, he come on against Wolves, having not played senior football in however many months, and made a decent show of himself. So fair play to him. But as you say, we've had a lot of key injuries, and I'm just hoping that the Heatons, the Engels, the Grealishes are in the team and target too.
Do you know what? The goalkeeper situation at Villa has fascinated me over the course of the past season and a half or so. So if we go, if we rewind back to the start of last season, Jed Steer starts the first game. He then goes on loan to Charlton. Nyland had been brought in by Steve Bruce. So then he takes the gloves all the way to the end of 2018, missing one league game. Mark Bunn, I think, played the other. Jed Steer returns from his loan spell at Charlton because Dylan Phillips had obviously established himself as the number one at the Valley. Jed Steer then plays the first game of 2019. But Dean Smith, the new manager, brings in Lovra Kalinic. So he then takes the number one spot. He then gets injured against West Brom. So Jed Steer comes on at half-time against West Brom. He then plays the remainder of the season, including the playoff final. Yeah. Obviously gets you guys up into the Premier League. Tom Heaton comes in. That's fair enough. It's Tom Heaton. Tom Heaton then gets injured. Jed Steer comes in. He plays his first game, you know, in the Premier League for years.
It's not his first ever one.
No. It was been a long time, hadn't it, since he played. Yeah. He then gets injured after, 12 minutes? Then Nyland comes back in. It's absolute madness.
I know. It's a revolving door with the goalkeepers at Villa. We thought we found at last a reliably good goalkeeper. After Johnston left and we were a bit down about it, we finally got, after last season's debacle, as you described, finally got Heaton, and he's got injured. I'm just worried that he's getting to that age now, 33, 34, whether he's going to start picking up these little niggly injuries, and, you know, I'm just quite worried about him, to be honest. But he's a quality player. He kept burning the league a few seasons ago. He's a good goalkeeper. He's got experience, and he's a really vital figure. And I know he'll want to go back to United, as will James Chester, even though he's a fringe player now, and just sort of soak it up at Old Trafford with the Villa.
Yeah,
obviously former youth prospects there, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And just before you go, Dom, I've got a feeling as well, Trezeguet could maybe cause problems. I think Moraes as well, Moraes could potentially cause problems against this United backline, who we've seen again have suffered. I mean, Wesley, for one, I think could cause Lindelof all kinds of issues.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I can't wait to see Jack Grealish versus Aaron Wan-Bissaka if Jack starts on the left. That'll be an amazing battle. You've got, arguably, in my opinion, the best English right defensive right-back. Perhaps Trent Alexander-Arnold's better going forward, but defensively, Aaron Wan-Bissaka's the best English right-back in the business. Him against the magic of Jack Grealish, I can't wait to see that. And obviously the midfield battles with like McGinn and Pogba and McTominay, because obviously McGinn and McTominay are great pals, so that'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to the game, to be honest, as much as I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game, because it's been too long.
Mate, it feels like forever, this international break. So it's been great having the Premier League back. Of course, you do host Newcastle United tomorrow. No doubt, Dom, you will be giving Steve Bruce the warmest of receptions at Villa Park. That was Dom Phillips of Heart of the Hulk. Great to have him on. As always, I'm sure we'll speak to him again. This has been the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. I'm off to put the kettle on.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.